Hello, lovers of the macabre. I'm Alma.
And I'm Lauren.
And this is...
Morbid Possessions.
So, we're coming to you from Lauren's closet yet again.
Tried and true.
Today, we're going to be talking about... Drumroll. Unsolved Mysteries.
Hey.
So my first story is going to be about the Pollock sisters. We have quite a few stories to tell you, the both of us, so we're going to take some turns telling you guys what we found in our research. So the Pollock sister story is John and Florence ran a milk delivery business in Hexham in Northumberland. They had two daughters named Joanna Pollock and Jacqueline Pollock. Joanna was 5 years elder to Jacqueline. John was fascinated with reincarnation despite being Catholic, and he asked for God to show him proof of reincarnation. So he had those two daughters. Joanna loved costumes and acting. Both of the girls liked combing people's hair, which is kind of a weird thing to be mentioned, but okay.
Like, I like braiding people's hair, but I'm not going around just going like, ooh, let me braid your hair. Like, no, that's...
Hey, I like
long walks on a beach, yeah. Like on their like Tinder profile and combing people's hair.
Next, I would
swipe left, not right.
So the girls were out one day walking to church with a friend when they were killed in a car accident by a woman attempting suicide. The woman had taken a massive amount of Tylenol and phenobarbital and had went out into the road in her car to attempt suicide. The girls saw the woman approaching, but it was too late. They were trapped, being that there was a wall on the inside of the... on the sidewalk, on the inner side, there was a wall there, so there was nowhere for them to run.
Makes sense.
The father, John, was devastated, and he thought that the girl's death was punishment for having asked proof of reincarnation. He believed the girls would return and be reincarnated, and the mother preferred not to think too much about them, and she just kind of avoided thinking about them.
So he thought it was
because he
punishment because asked. He asked about it,
mm-hmm.
But then he still believed in it?
He believes
this is a roundabout way.
So it gets crazier.
Oh, Lord. Doesn't it know?
Florence, the wife, became pregnant once again, and John thought the girls would be reincarnated through her pregnancy. Their doctor told them that they were only going to have one child. When she gave birth on October 4th, 1958, though, to their surprise, it was twin girls.
Oh, right? Wow. I love this.
So one of the girls, Jennifer, she had birthmarks that resembled Jacqueline's, the late daughter's birthmarks. Jacqueline had a scar on her forehead above her eye after having an accident and having fallen on a bucket. She also had a birthmark on her left waist. Jennifer was born with both of these marks. Jennifer also had a similar stocky build as Jacqueline, and Gillian had a more slim build, just as Joanna had. When the twins saw the toys that used to be the girls, they chose the same toys that the girls had previously had and could even name the dolls, even though they had never been told anything in regards to the toys. Trippy. So once they returned to Hexham when the girls were four, so they moved away from Hexham when the girls were babies. So they returned to Hexham when the girls were four, and despite never having lived there before, besides when they were babies, the girls were able to recognize landmarks, and they even asked to go to a park and knew the way to the park, besides never having been there before.
Twins are weird. This is what I'm chopping it up to.
One time when the twins were having lunch at home, they said they didn't like the lunch, and the mother asked if they would prefer having lunch at school. The twins stated, "We've done that before, despite never having done that before, but the girls that passed had." Creepy. So when the girls turned five, they forgot all of their past life memories. The father did not tell them any of his beliefs or even anything in regards to reincarnation until they were about 13, so it's not like he had fed those ideas to them.
No.
By the time they were 20 and they were asked about their past lives and they couldn't recall anything, and they were even skeptical towards reincarnation. Whether these girls were truly reincarnated continues to be an unsolved mystery.
I love that. And wow, you did an amazing job on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow, my notes are so shit compared to yours. Aren't they always, though? Alma is a scholar through and through, and I am a procrastinator. You go to college?
I go to college.
You go to college. Okay. So my first story is on Amelia Earhart. I used to be fascinated by her because, like, my young baby self thought she was such a feminist icon, and she is, and I love her. She was a fucking badass.
I don't know much about her, but I know that she flew planes.
She flew planes, and she did, like...
Wasn't she deaf? No. Never mind. That was Helen Keller.
Jesus! Wow! God! Says the girl that goes to college. I go to college. Okay. Back on topic. In 1937, Earhart decided to take a journey that would be 29,000 miles spanning over 40 days. The journey would be starting and ending in California. Earhart wanted to be the first woman to fly around the world. Earhart's plane was specifically designed to carry 1,000 pounds. Are you taking selfies while we are podcasting?
God damn it. I didn't think you could see me.
Oh, I can't see your movements everywhere.
Okay, I'm turning my phone off.
To carry 1,000 pounds of fuel when the normal plane would carry 200. On May 21st, 1937, Earhart and her navigator Noonan started their journey from Oakland, California. On July 2nd, 1937, Earhart and Noonan vanished. Her final, like, transcript,
mm-hmm,
or message, whatever the fuck it's actually called, was, "We are on the line 157, 337. We will repeat message. We will repeat this on 6,210. Kilocycles, and then wait. And when witnesses will recount, mm-hmm, or had recounted the message, they said that her voice was frantic and she was panicking. She was never to be seen again.
Oh, shit.
Noonan was never found, and neither was a plane.
Wow. Did they fly over the Bermuda Triangle?
They did, and that is a theory that they discuss. They also discussed that their plane just ran out of gas and...
Wow. But where would it go?
Into the ocean.
Oh, yeah. You know, when
the world is a big place, and so is the ocean.
When I was younger, I thought that the Bermuda Triangle would be a much bigger problem in my life. Like, I thought, you know...
And quicksand.
Yeah.
And, well, like, lava pits
randomly. I have fallen in... Well, I don't know if it was technically quicksand, but I was definitely quicksanding.
Or is it mud? Did you just step into mud?
We were on the side of, like, this little creek, and it was, like, very, very soft soil, and we were sinking at a very rapid pace.
It was mud, probably.
No, it was very, very, like, it started sucking us up.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. And so the guy we were with specifically told us, don't walk that way, and we ignored him. And then he had to drive us home covered in the quicksand, and he was really mad. He dropped us off, and then we never saw him again.
Okay.
He also yelled at us, don't go in it.
I think
multiple times.
That's your own problem there. He said, don't go in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my next story is actually very current. It's currently happening. In Japan, there has been a surfacing of ghost ships. These ships come on a shore riddled with cadavers. Sometimes the cadavers are so deteriorated that they have been stripped to bone. Sometimes there's nothing on the ship, not even bones. The source of these ships is unknown, But there are a couple of theories. One theory is that the boats are from fishermen in Korea. It is believed that Kim Jong-un wants the fishermen to bring back bigger fish and larger quantities of fish, and the men are dying out at sea due to having little resources to survive out there. Another theory is that the men that died on the ship are spies. There have been cases where a few men were still alive on the ship, and although one theory is that the men are trying to escape from Korea, they request to be sent back to Korea after they're saved. In 2018, 100 ghost ships washed up on Japan's shore. It is a very common occurrence. The source of these ghost ships continues to be an unsolved mystery.
Ooh.
That's spooky ooky ooky.
It is spooky ooky ooky. I love that.
And it's still happening to this day.
That's so weird. And nobody
really knows why. There's only theories.
And they're not like whaling ships or anything like that? I know like that's a big thing in Japan.
The ships aren't that big though.
They're, oh, okay.
Well, I think they vary in size, but one of the ones that I saw looked like very rinky-dink. Like, it didn't look like it would hold anything heavy.
Okay. Weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess that's why it's an unsolved mystery. Okay. Flipping the page. My next one is on B.D. Cooper, and I didn't mean for my first and second mystery to be about planes.
Okay.
But they are. It's just who I am.
Plane girl?
I'm a horse girl, actually. I have a horse.
You have a horse?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I know. You learned so much about me. We thought we knew everything about each other. Okay, B.D. Cooper. On November 24th, 1971, the day before Thanksgiving, Dan Cooper bought a one-way plane ticket from Portland, Oregon to Seattle, Washington for $20 cash.
Wow.
A plane ticket for $20.
Jesus Christ. I wish plane tickets were still $20. I'm trying to go to New York soon.
We'll discuss. I can find you cheap tickets. Cooper was described like basically any white businessman in his 40s. He was mid-40s, business suit, overcoat, brown shoes, white shirt, and a black tie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He carried a briefcase and a brown paper bag.
Okay, the brown paper bag is a little odd.
Okay, what if it's just his lunch?
That's true.
That's all true. That's all he needed was.
Or it has like booze in it, like a hobo.
You never know. Being a businessman is hard to some people.
That's why a lot of Wall Street guys do like crack and stuff.
I never actually, like, thought about them doing crack, but...
You haven't seen Wolf of Wall Street?
Nope, I have, and then that's where I was going on that one. So, on the flight, Cooper handed a stewardess a note. She dismissed it and he said, basically, you should look at it. I have a bomb.
Oh, wow.
He made her... sit next to him and pass a message to the captain stating, I want $200,000 by 5 p.m. in cash. Put it in a knapsack. I want to be back. I want two back parachutes, two front parachutes, and I want a fuel truck ready to refuel when we land. No funny stuff or I'll do the job. Those were his actions. That was actually what he had said.
Wow. Okay.
Once they landed in Seattle, Cooper let the passengers go, but kept the crew and demanding to be taken to Mexico City, but to be flown under 10,000 feet.
I don't get it. Why? So what happened?
Well, think about it. He's asking for a parachute. What do you think comes next?
Oh,
you can't jump out of a plane at a certain height.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere over Reno, Cooper jumped out of the rear doors with two parachutes and the money. 9 years later, a boy found a rotting bag with $5,800 cash with the same serial numbers matching some of the money that Cooper had been given. Nothing else was ever found, and to this day, it is an unsolved mystery.
So his body was never found.
Never found. They don't know who it is. There are claims that, you know, people are B.D. Cooper, but...
Well, why would he leave the money?
D.B. Cooper, sorry. Huh?
Why would he leave the money?
He could have just dropped it as he was falling.
Oh, he could have dropped it, lost it, and was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna...
He's like, fuck it, I have, you know, other money.
That's crazy. So, my next story is the case of the missing skier. On February 7th, 2018, Danny Filippides, wow, that's kind of hard to say, disappeared on a yearly ski trip in Lake Placid, New York. At some point during the ski trip, it was discovered that he was gone. They came to find his car, as well as his personal belongings in the car, but he was nowhere to be found. 6 days after his disappearance, his wife received a call from a random number, and it was Danny. He was confused, and after his wife convinced him to reveal what happened and where he was, he revealed he was in Sacramento, California. He had no recollection of how he had gotten there. He was still in his ski gear and was in clear need of medical attention. Danny had purchased a new iPhone, which is what he contacted his wife on, and he had gotten a haircut as well. He had been found wandering around a rental car lot by deputies when he contacted his wife. So, how did he get a haircut, but he was still in his ski gear?
I mean, maybe it was cold in there.
6 days later, and he was on a ski trip in Lake Placid, and he ended up in Sacramento, California. Lake Placid's in New York. That's creepy. That's so weird. So, it was stated that trucks do pass, like, through the ski area routinely, but no truckers ever came forward stating that they had given him a ride or had seen him after they did an investigation. It was also confirmed that no crimes were committed while he was lost and disoriented. What did Danny do during those 6 days? How did he get to Sacramento? Multiple theories have been made. Rumors of alien abduction, rumors of teleportation. The true reason continues to be unknown, and the case continues to be an unsolved mystery.
Drugs. People do crazy things on drugs.
I don't know, though.
I'm sticking with drugs.
He could have gotten on drugs, I guess, but his family would have mentioned something about him having a drug problem. And he seemed like he was pretty stable, and that was completely sporadic.
I mean, some drug addicts are...
He could have been drugged and kidnapped.
True. Case remains unsolved. All right. Alma, do you know what today is?
Today is Friday, the November 22nd.
Do you know what happened on this day in 1963?
No. What happened?
President JFK was assassinated.
Okay.
And I'm going in on one of those fun theories.
Okay.
This one's a short one. So many people have theories about this, you know, that Lee Harvey Oswald, my brain is fried today. Work was crazy. Lee Harvey Oswald. Wow, that's hard to say when you're exhausted.
Lee Harvey Oswald?
Yes. Okay. Is always the main shooter in all mm-hmm. of the theories. So we're going to talk about the Babushka Lady. The Babushka Lady is an unknown woman who is present during the assassination. Eyewitnesses claim to see her holding a camera to her face even after the shooting. Just standing there while everyone's running around her. She's just standing there with her camera.
Wow. Maybe she's just very desensitized.
True. People believe the Babushka Lady may have been a Russian spy and that the president was assassinated due to the Cold War that took place from 1947 to 1991. The reason why I really like this theory, and I'm not completely opposed to it,
mm-hmm.
is that Lee Harvey Oswald had gone to the USSR trying to denounce his United States citizenship and wanted to join forces with Russia.
Oh.
And he was also a, fun fact, he was a Marine.
Hmm.
So that's why I'm like, you know what, this wouldn't be the worst thing, But also, it's kind of like, it's so possible that you're like, I don't want it to be true.
He could have been a Russian spy. Mm-hmm. That's true. I feel like everyone blames the Russians, though, and it's just getting so old.
You're so over it. It's so mainstream to blame them. How dare you blame the Russians?
Like, with Cambridge Analytica. Like, yeah, that probably did happen, though.
Yeah. So that was my last one for that.
My last one is the Yuba County Five. On October 24th, 1978, a group of five men with mild psychiatric issues went to a basketball game in California. After the game, the men drove to a market. The men were never seen again. Their car was found on a long, windy dirt road. The car was filled with wrappers and empty cans from the snacks they had purchased at the store. They were nowhere to be found there. The keys were not in the ignition. The car had no mechanical issues, so it was unknown as to why they had abandoned their car and went outside, being that there was no heavy snow that night. The car was found unlocked with one of the windows down. None of this made sense to anyone, being that also, why would the windows be down if it was the middle of a snowstorm? So they attempted to find the men, but due to the heavy snowstorm, the researchers had to stop searching for the men after nearly being lost. After airing the disappearance on the news and requesting for any information from citizens, one man came forward who stated his car had been stranded in the snow, and after trying to get his car out of the snow, he began to feel symptoms of heart attack. So he returned into his car and sat there for hours. The man says eventually he saw a car pull up behind him. The man claims to have seen a group of people around the car, including a woman with a baby. He began calling for help, and they turned their headlights off and got quiet. He later on saw them have flashlights, but when he began trying to call for help again, the lights turned off. Store owners and workers also confirm that they had been at their store. After some of the snow melted, remains were found on the road. One of the bodies had been eaten by animals. It was concluding that the bodies found passed from hypothermia. 2 days after that, the backbone of one of the men was found underneath a bush. There were also clothing articles found near the body, and a skull was found down the hill. One of the men was found in a trailer on a bed covered in 8 sheets. He died of hypothermia and starvation. There were resources in the trailer that could have helped him start a fire to keep warm, but no fire had been lit. There were some foods that were consumed, but there was a great amount of food in the trailer that could have kept all five men fed for a year. Yet somehow the men died of starvation. The trailer also had a heating system which had never been turned on. There was evidence that possibly all five men had been in the trailer. The men had enough food to survive and the resources to keep warm. Why did they die of hypothermia/starvation? The case of the Yuba County Five continues to be an unsolved mystery.
Dude, that is crazy. I have no comments on that one. Like, honestly, that's just weird.
That's super weird. It makes
sense. I want to learn more about this one.
Yeah, I try to find as much stuff as I could on it, mm-hmm. and there's just no explanation at all. At all.
That's crazy.
All right, so I'm going to be doing a little update on current true crime. This actually just happened on November 14th, 2019, which was just last week, Thursday morning. I found out about this because I was at work, and my cousin texted me out of nowhere, letting me know that her babies were okay, because they live in Santa Clarita. And her kids are in elementary school, and she let us know that there was a shooting at a local high school there down the street, and the whole school was on lockdown. So after this happened, I looked it up, and I've been keeping updated on what happened with this shooting. So last Thursday morning on November 14th, 2019, Nathaniel Burho, age 16, on the day of his birthday, took a gun with him to his local high school. He walked onto the quad nonchalantly and shot into the crowd at 7:38 a.m., shooting 5 students. The shooting was premeditated, but the shots appear to be at random without having a reason behind the specific students being shot. Weeks prior to the shooting, Saugus High School had just had an active shooter training for the students. The students on campus ran to a sheltered place or off the campus. Many of them grabbed scissors and prepared themselves in case they needed to defend themselves against the shooter. Burhau then took the gun on himself and he shot himself in the head after shooting those five students. One student who was shot on her side was found by the choir teacher, Mrs. Holt, outside of her classroom and was taken into the classroom along with other students. The wounded student is said to have been really strong and said, "I'm so going to be homeschooled after this."
Oh. Honestly, it's like, I want to cry.
I know. I was so crying while reading, like, most of this.
But it's like, you know, she probably wanted to laugh a little because she's like, of course this happened to me. Because we all have those, like, self-deprecating moments.
Yeah. So, a student named Eddie Mendoza said Holt barricaded the door while he attempted to help treat the wounded victim. Students were preparing themselves to fight if they had to, with some even preparing to fight and sacrifice themselves for the survival of others. All six students, including an additional seventh student who was injured, but not directly by the gunfire, were transported to the hospital. Authorities found a 45 semi-automatic ghost gun rifle at the scene of the crime, and witnesses claim Burhau appeared familiar with firing the weapon. The gun did not have a serial number, and the pieces to make the weapon are rumored to have been bought online or at a gun show. It was stated that videos on how to assemble the guns are on YouTube. Two of the students, 15-year-old Gracie Ann Muhlberger and 14-year-old Dominic Blackwell, were pronounced dead later that day. Nathaniel Burhau passed the following day in the hospital from a self-inflicted wound. It is unknown as to why Burhau decided to commit a school shooting. He was said to be a smart and quiet boy who played chess and was even in the Boy Scouts. Other students described him as very normal. Burhau's father passed away 2 years ago, and it is thought that this greatly affected him and could have caused the shooting. His dad was big on hunting and was arrested after having a domestic dispute with his mother, although no charges were ever filed. There was no history of Burhau being bullied or having ties to any groups or ideologies. After the incident, police raided Burhau's home and found six more unregistered guns in the house. Students have not returned to school since the incident, and they will not be returning until after Thanksgiving break on December 2nd. I'm just so, like, it's just so heart-shattering.
Yeah. I was at work. I was on break when it was happening, and they'd just put it on the news, and you were watching students be evacuated. And I watched a video or an interview with a mom and a daughter, and they're standing in the park. The daughter had ran like hopped a fence, ran to a park, and the mom was just clinging onto her daughter, and she's sobbing, and she's like, "This is my baby. Like, I don't know what I would do without her." And it really hit me that, like, this is really happening, like, in the world we live in. It is such a dark and scary place for children. Like, they can't go to school and they can't feel safe at school.
Yeah.
And, like, the mom is shaking, and it was like,
it's happening. And, you know, there's just been more and more active shooter threats or active shooters at schools and other places. Like, even just last Sunday, Yucaipa High had a shooting threat. So I believe that they didn't have school on Monday. And it's just been happening. Like, I feel like this past week or two, there's just been more and more on the news about school shootings.
Mm-hmm. So the thing with, like, events like that, I went to an active shooter training with the city that I live in. When I was in high school, my mom made me go to it because it was right after the San Bernardino.
Oh, okay. Country. Yeah, I do remember that on Waterman.
Mm-hmm. My mom's office is right across.
I was just talking to someone at work, and she worked for San Bernardino County at the time, or her husband did. So they knew people who worked in that office.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was there, they were saying suicide and mass shootings, active shooters, the mentality of their breaking point is sometimes the same. So when they see someone who has done it, they get up the courage. So with every suicide and active shooter, if there's one, there are three more that will try.
Yeah, especially when it's showed on the media, it's kind of perpetuating, not saying that it's the cause, but it is putting in people's heads who already want to do it. They're like, well, they're doing it, so why don't I?
Yeah, they get the courage, like they see that it's possible to do. And it's such an awful thing to think that not just suicide, but an active shooter, because they're taking others' lives as well.
Yeah, it's so fucked up. And I mean, it's traumatizing. Even my coworker was telling us that she refuses to go to the holiday party this Christmas because I think that shooting might have been.
It was a holiday party.
Yeah. So she refuses to go to the holiday party this December.
It's awful. It's awful that people feel, you know, that people live their life in fear now because of situations like this. I know that there are people that don't go to movies, or people that homeschool, feel like they're forced to homeschool their children. You know, I have thought of that every time I turn on the news and there's another active shooter at a school.
Yeah,
I feel so sick to my stomach, and I'm like, why do I want to bring children into this world? But then at the same time, I'm like, I want to have the joy of being a mother. But at the same time, I'm so afraid. And I just want to homeschool them and keep them in a bubble. But, you know, you can't keep them safe like that.
Yeah, no, that would just fuck them up, to be honest. And then
I can have a serial killer child.
Damn. Then they would be standing over your bed with a knife at night.
Excuse me. Norman loved his mother.
So, okay. So we're going to give you guys a little bit of an update on the shirts. We do have all of the shirts finally, so we're very excited. We're going to go into screen printing now officially, right, Lauren?
Yes, we are, finally.
We had a little bit of a lot of setbacks, but it's finally going to come into fruition, so just stay tuned. We have a lot of big things coming.
Yes.
Do you have any additional notes, Lauren?
No, I mean, we had a blast at I Like Scary Movies.
We did.
So we got to do some fun, like take some fun pictures.
With the shirts on.
With the shirts on. We're eventually going to be posting those on our Instagram. I know Alma and I have posted some sneak peeks.
We have on our personal pages, if you guys are following us. And we did post one little sneak peek on the, Instagram.
Yes.
But once again, we appreciate all of you guys for continuing to support us. And if you're still listening, we love you guys. We're so glad that our numbers have not dropped.
Not at all. We're so thankful for you guys. Let us know what is your favorite unsolved mystery and what you guys want to hear next.
Yeah, give us any criticism. Give us any stories, you know. Just talk to us.
Heck yeah. We love hearing from y'all.
All right. Stay morbid.
God, you're adorable. Bye. Bye.